2 Kings chapter 4, we'll start with verse 38. Verse 38, and Elisha came again to Gilgal. There was a dearth in the land, a drought, and the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. And he said unto his servant, set on the great pot, and set and seethe pottage for the sons of the prophets. And one went out into the field to gather herbs, and found a wild vine, and gathered thereof wild gourds his lap full, and came and shred them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. Talking about those wild gourds, didn't really know what they was dealing with. So they poured out for the men to eat. And it came to pass, as they were eating of the pottage, that they cried out and said, O thou man of God, there is death in the pot. And they could not eat thereof. And he said, then bring meal. And he cast it into the pot, and he said, pour out for the people that they may eat. And there was no harm in the pot. Look at verse 40 again. So they poured out for the men to eat. And it came to pass, as they were eating of the pottage, that they cried out and said, O thou man of God, there is death in the pot. That's what I want to preach on, death in the pot. And they could not eat thereof. Lord, help us. This morning, anoint your word, your messenger, and our ears to hear what you're saying to us right now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Death in the pot. So, Brother Jeff, that's kind of a goofy title. I'm just telling you what the Bible said. It's death in the pot. We've got a day and an hour we're living in when there is so much teaching of this idea, you know, that there's no relevance, there's no absolutes. You know, there's nothing positive that we can really bank on. And, you know, when I was growing up, of course, it could have been a slogan before I grew up, you know, born in the 60s, grew up through the 70s, you know, so you had all the crazy stuff going on. But one of the big slogans was, if it feels good, do it. That was just a normal slogan. I mean, it's like a T-shirt deal, bumper sticker. If it feels good, do it. That was the slogan. That was the motto of the hour. But my generation that grew up with that slogan, they're sitting in the Congress halls now. They're the judges on the judge's seat. They're the guys that are out here and gals that are making decisions, that are teaching our kids in school. They're the professors and the teachers, my generation. And this is the very slogan that they have embraced and made doctrine out of it. They've made it what they believe to be the truth of the hour. That there is no truth of the hour. There is no absolutes. There's no real truth. There's no right or wrong or black and white. It's just, you know, it's kind of whatever you think, however you feel, whatever you make of it. And now they're teaching our children, that'll be the ones that'll be, in the Congress hall tomorrow, if time lasts. That'll be the president of tomorrow. That'll be, think of the demoralizing and the degradation, the direction that our country is going down in because of this embracing of such things. Now, the Bible says in Judges chapter 17, verse 6, I'm going to read you two or three places that you'll find these words. In those days, there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right, listen, in his own eyes. He did that which was right in his own eyes. And then again in Judges 21, verse 25, another time that there was no king, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That's Judges 21, 25. Then Proverbs sums it up. And he said in Proverbs 12, verse 15, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Didn't even really say the Lord's counsel. He's just talking about good counsel, solid counsel. Of course, we certainly know that he is a reference to the Lord's counsel. But the one that hearkens to good counsel, godly counsel, he's the wise man. But the way of the fool is right in his own eyes. And then, of course, naturally, Proverbs 21 and 2. every way of a man is right in his own eyes. Listen to that. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. But the Lord pondereth the heart. God knows what's right and wrong. God knows what you're thinking. He knows the motive behind what you do and why you do it. Death in the pot. You know, here we see in this particular story, as Elisha has come into Gilgal and he's there and here's all the prophets. These are the preachers of the hour. These are the young people, you might say, that are coming up in ministry. These are the guys that are going to be going to the villages and going to the temple and going around, and they're going to be the ones that will begin to teach and to preach. Now, in the day here of Elisha, there wasn't so many secular schools. There was more of just the teaching of God's word among God's people. God had instituted that parents taught their children, and he taught as well that they were to teach them the statutes and the ways of God. And education and learning to read and write and do things completely revolved around the idea of knowing God's word, his statutes, and understanding what truth really is. We're seeing a day today where the church has totally quit the idea of teaching their own. Well, we have 30-minute, 45-minute class on Sunday morning that we do our Sunday school program. But outside of that, we leave it completely up to secular society to teach and to train our children. There is no biblical precedence for that. None. And then we wonder why our children are becoming so twisted in their thinking, so argumentative toward the idea that there is no absolutes. Why in the world today are we in an hour when you have regular, what you might say, heterosexual relationships? They don't want to get married. All right? You have men and women living together. They want to do that. But then you have the homosexual relationship driving desire to get married and have a marital relationship. What's the deal? Why? It's just the idea of rebellion, going against what is right and wrong. It's just going against what is right and wrong. And if just concerning the homosexual agenda, just one of many. But if they can somehow, this is their thinking, if we can get laws passed to where we can legally get married, then we're just in the eyes of the law, and that makes it right. It'll never be right regardless of what the laws of the land does, simply because God's word has spelled it out. He spelled it out plain and simple. Some would say, oh, well, you know, Jesus, and I heard this argument not long ago, you know, well, Jesus never taught against homosexuality. Jesus came to this earth. He made it clear in his own teaching that he was here for the lost sheep of Israel. He was gathering the children of Israel together, teaching them, guiding them, leading them, and trying to bring them to a place of receiving the Messiah. But they would not do it. He made it clear in a couple different areas there. I didn't come to deal with the Gentiles. I came to deal with the Jews or with Israel, with the lost sheep. He was there trying to restore them. Here was the plan. If he could have restored them to the place that they would have embraced him as Messiah, then Israel themselves, as they were born again, embraced Christ and washed in the blood of Jesus, would have become the missionaries of the world. And they would have been the ones that would have reached the world, reached the lost, went to every village. That's God's plan. It's always been that way. It's never been God's desire and total plan to use Gentile people to do what he intended for Israel to do. But they are sidetracked. They got their minds other places. They wouldn't receive Christ. They still haven't. Some do, but most don't. And so the Lord looked to us and has allowed us our opportunity. This is our day. This is our dispensation of grace and opportunity to preach Christ and to reach the world. It is. This is our day. But the Jews, they turned from that. But the whole idea was that Jesus, as he taught them, he did not need to spell out that homosexuality or sodomy was wrong. They knew that was wrong. They knew the law well, and the law spelled those kind of things out. He didn't need to mention bestiality and even use such a word as that. It's despicable to speak the word that I just did. And yet Jesus didn't have to deal with that. The law spelled it out specifically. He knew his people knew right and wrong in that aspect. He was trying to reach them and let them see that he was the Messiah. He was here. He was ready. That was his mission. That was his goal. And he had to get to that cross and die for all of us. Amen. It was never needed for him to spell out such things that were so clear in the law of Moses that God had given them. And so, but throughout the whole New Testament, right and wrong is spelled out specifically over and over. There's no need for me this morning to begin to try to nail down every little thing. It's obvious. You read that book. If you've got a desire for truth, then you will see what is right and wrong. And it is obvious that Jesus Christ loves you. He cares about you. But He wants to bring you out of the sin you're in, not leave you in it and throw a little blood on top of you to sanctify you. He wants to save your soul from hell and deliver you off the bar stool, off of the drug bottle, and out of the ungodly sexual activity and anything else that has you bound in this hour. Amen. Death in the pot. What's going on? Well, here the enemy knows that if he can get to these young preachers, if he could get to these ministers and he can poison them, then he will slow down and affect the gospel. And of course, this is Old Testament, but it's completely relevant to this hour. The enemy then and there was trying to destroy the young preachers, and he's still trying to destroy the pulpits of America today and across the world. Across the world, yes, but it'll start here, because America is the nation that is doing more to reach this world with the gospel than any other nation. And if the devil can pervert the gospel here, he'll pervert it around the world, because we're going to take it everywhere. Oh yeah. We've got, while we sit and wonder what we ought to do, the Mormons are going into every village across this world, knocking on doors and going into tents and telling them about Mormonism. Jehovah Witness, they're already in places you've never dreamed of going. While we sit and all let the missionary go, while we've been waiting on somebody else to do it, false gospels are taught and preached and taken all over this world. I was in Armenia a few years ago. There. Such devastation. They had an earthquake some 20 years ago or something. Devastated that country. It's still rattled right down to the ground. Stuff still there in piles. Nobody, no infrastructure there to help. No government to really work for them and help the people. They were poor. Everywhere you went, poor. I mean, when I was there, it was 15 years after the earthquake. And you'd go into little villages that were still rattled to the ground. And the people still had little lean-tos and tarps up. And the government had brought out these train cars, these big box cars, you know, for transportating, items in them. And they would set those in villages periodically here, there, and other places and say, there you go. You can house in that. You can use it for whatever. We had, while I was there, had one of the most Holy Ghost-filled church services I've ever been in my life in one of those train cars. I mean, you know, it was amazing. All the people with hunger for God's Word, not asking for any money. Just tell us about Jesus. Tell us how great He is. Preach to us about Pentecost. They was wanting to know about Pentecost. They were saying, preach this Pentecost. We want to know. They were telling me about how that the Holy Ghost had swept through one of those train cars, one of those little churches, and 60 people in a one sweeping move had been instantly filled with the Holy Ghost. They said it's the closest thing to the upper room in Acts chapter 2 we've ever seen or felt or known anything about. God's moving across the world. He's looking for somebody to move through and in. While I was there going through those villages, here along come the fellas, you know, the Mormons. They knock, they come down through that. They spread. I said, how long have they been here? They told how many years they'd been there doing that. It's my first time to get there. Yeah, folks, there's going to be another gospel preached and taught. We've got to realize that we have the only true gospel. Oh, I know they call us bigots and narrow-minded and everything else because we believe that. Listen, if anything and everything is right, nothing's right. That's what they want us to think. That's what they're trying to teach and to preach. Here we see that Elisha, he has a servant named, what was that boy's name? Gehazi. And Gehazi, no doubt about it that Elisha had taught that boy, the time of drought been going on for, it went on like 7 years there. And so you know good and well, going down the road, that old man, Elisha, he'd be talking to that boy, they'd walk along, they're trying to figure out how to eat, how to survive. And you know how a father figure always going to teach that younger man a thing. That now right there, that's a scaly bark oak. I've been through the woods with some of these older fellas, you know, they'll say. Now that right there, that's a red oak, and that's a hickory, and they tell you about trees, and that's a red squirrel, a red tail, fox squirrel or something. You know, they try to explain a few things, and You know, what's right, what's good to eat, what's not good, and all that. Well, you know, Elisha's doing that. They're walking down there and saying, listen, son, this is a time of drought. But the only thing growing in this area is going to be these old gourds over here. Now, see, I wasn't calling you all over our gourds, all right, the old gourds. Or old goats, and then I was talking point over here. All right, so over here, now look at the difference in these gourds. And he tried to explain to them because, see, they say, I done a little research on that. They say that in that area, the gourd that was good to eat had one that looked almost just like it that was absolutely poisonous, would kill you if you ate it. And to the untrained eye, you would not be able to tell the difference. But upon close examination, you could, there were certain little characteristics that showed which gourd was good, which gourd was bad. Elisha has taught that young man the difference. He showed the boy what he needed. But you know what the boy's probably been doing? The whole time the old man's a talking, the boy's thinking, is there a city around here somewhere? A little action going on? Is there any girls over there? Somebody, any something going? Because we know how Gehazi ends up. All right, you remember him? He's the guy that later on, when Naaman is healed of his leprosy, and Elisha refuses to take any of the gifts of Naaman and his Syrian king that were wicked. You know, he wasn't going to take none of their gifts. He said, "No, you keep your gifts. You go on back." And Gehazi catches Elisha not looking. He runs on out there and says, hey, the man of God changed his mind. Got some folks coming over. Need a little help here. And he got some stuff from that man. Gold and silver and some garments, and come back and hid it. And because of that, leprosy came upon him. And Elisha told him, he said, son, is this a time for houses and lands and garments and gold, silver? Is this the time that we worry about those things right now? In an hour of such stress and worry, concern, is that what you're caught up in other words? He said, all right, you got it, but you got the leprosy that went with it. Huh? That's how this boy ends. But here we are a few years earlier, possibly, and he's with Elisha. And while Elisha's teaching him and training him vital information, he ain't paying attention. And so here they get to this area where, it's time to eat. And Elisha trusts his young servant. He said, hey, Gehazi, go out there and gather up some of them good gourds I taught you about. Bring them back. Let's feed these boys. Let's help these. These are the guys that's going to be taking over this thing real soon. And so, the story goes out. He gathers gourds, but he wasn't paying attention. And one went out into the field with herbs, to gather herbs, and found a wild vine and gathered thereof wild gourds his lap full, and came and shred them into the pot, for they knew them not. Nobody else knew what it was, and the boy that gathered them sure didn't know. But he didn't care. He wasn't thinking. A lot of times we don't think about the results of what happens when we don't do right. When we've not paid attention to God's Word. There'll come a day, if the Lord tarries, you will not have that Bible in your hand. You won't have your little digital deal on your phone. Our government, other places around this world, they're going to do everything they can to take our Bible from us. We're foolish and naive if we don't think they will. They'll do that eventually. I don't know if we'll be here. I'm praying the rapture takes place before all that mess happens. But I know one thing. When it happens, the word you've learned and got in your heart is what you're going to have to live by at that point. And if you've not paid attention and you ain't took God serious, you're going to be in trouble. You won't be able to recognize the difference between the truth and the false. The devil is a master at bringing in a deceptive word that sounds good, that feels good, but it is absolutely mixed with poison that'll destroy you, and God will not accept it. That's right. That's right. It's a lot of things that we can do that sounds good, that feels good. It seems all right. There's a way that seems good. It seems all right. Oh, you know, my heart just felt good about that. Your heart's a liar. It'll lead you astray. Did Eve? Has everybody else that's chose to go the way of their heart instead of the way of God's Word? God's Word. The Bible said, let the Word of God be the truth and every man a liar. Let your emotions be a liar. Let your heart be a liar. Let the truth of God's Word be what you guide yourself by. And when your emotions and your feelings don't line up with God's Word, get them in that altar and get them right with Jesus. Amen. Allow the Holy Ghost to help us. We must know the truth. We must understand it for this hour and know that it's not only, you know, truth is what it is for you. And truth for you is different, you know. And we can all, there's not 25 different ways to God. Oprah is wrong. She'll say everybody's going, you believe in your God, we'll believe in ours. It all goes to the same place. It don't. Well, they all go to hell. Only one goes to God Almighty. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. No other way. If you can't believe that, you don't have to believe that. And if you won't believe it, there's consequences to pay. Because you can't go to heaven without believing that Jesus is the only way. Amen. They fix up the pottage. They feed the preachers. They feed the young people. They feed the young church of the hour that's getting ready to take things over. Fed them that stuff. Thank God for at least one, if maybe not a few of them young men that had been paying attention and knew the taste of death. They knew the taste of poison. They knew what was not right. In this hour, God will help you to know when things ain't right. When you're being taught false teaching and false things. God will help you if you've been reading your word. If you've been studying what God's got to say. If you've been listening and paying attention. God will help you. Somebody said, you know, I could learn better if I had a better preacher. You probably could. If you're a member of our church, hey man, you know, we need better preachers. I mean, Brother Mick's awesome and our other guys. Hey man, but I ain't here to belittle myself. Because here's what I know. From experience, I've sat in services when I knew things wasn't right. And I knew maybe there was issues in leadership and things like that. But you know what? I had a hunger for God's word and for the truth of God. And I was able to glean. I thought of this last night in here. You know, later in the evening, I was praying, just thinking about this. And in my mind, I felt like the Lord reminded me of times that I knew when there was issues, there was problems. You know, and it made it hard to listen. Made it hard to listen to somebody I was listening to. And yet, I'd sit. You call it being naive, call it whatever you want. I'd sit and I would cry and I would think, oh, while they'd preach it. Oh, God's talking to us. God's talking to us. And I could hear the word of God in the midst of it all. I could hear the word of God. I could hear the Lord talking. And that's what kept me alive. What was going on? Hope, man. I was hungry. If you're honest and hungry for God's word and God's truth, man, a donkey can do the preaching, a rooster can do the preaching, or a guy like me can do the preaching, but if it's God's word, you can glean from it and get it. But if all you're going to do is sit and criticize and say, man, things could be better, somebody could do it better, wish somebody had done something, wish, oh man, and all you're doing is daydreaming about a better day, it's going to pass you by. Opportunity is ours now. This is the day that God has given us. We've got to take advantage of every moment. Death in the pot. Everywhere you go out there, almost in every situation you'll find yourself in, there's somebody that's a deceiver. Somebody that's trying his best to lead you astray and destroy the way of thinking of the righteous. Oh yeah. Death in the pot. These young men began to eat. One cried out, there's death in the pot. And they could not eat it. They stopped. Had somebody not recognized that, if they'd have just went on their gluttony. Hey, they were hungry, folks. These men were hungry. Guys, you know how, you know, hungry guys, you know how they eat, don't you? I mean, it's like, it ain't always pretty. It's almost like slopping a hog sometimes. I mean, man, it can be rough. I mean, when I come in and I'm hungry, it's amazing how stale old pizza tastes to me later on. Now, I can pick mold off of bread, throw it aside, and eat that bread. Got a fruity flavor to it at that point. A little flavor. Huh? Yeah. That's why I don't know if that's true or not, but they say that, brother. Is it? It's a little bitter because I've chewed up some of that. Sherry, she was heavy in the way with one of our boys there, and she got up late in the night and couldn't see too good, didn't want to wake me up. Went to the refrigerator and the light bulb was out, Sister Ida. And the man of the house hadn't got that fixed. And she's hungry, and she looked and felt around in there and felt that old watermelon. Been sitting in old watermelon. Yeah, she wanted some of that. She got that out. You know how ladies are when they're in the way. You know, they got a lot of eat strange things. She's eating that watermelon. Man, it was good. She put that back in there. Next morning, come out, light shining, you know. Pulled that, opened the fridge, and looked down there. That watermelon was black, covered with mold, man. She didn't know it, you know, it was under the thing. She'd pulled that off of the night, ate, put it back on. She got down there the next day. Hey. Ah, goodness. All right, anyway. So, you know, mold. You know, you'll eat something when you're hungry. You'll eat weird stuff. Hey, these boys stopped. Even though they had a hungering appetite, they stopped. They wasn't willing to eat just anything. Huh? They wasn't willing to eat just anything. Listen, folks, just because it sounds good, it looks good, it appeals to your flesh. Oh, that's good. Oh, that's mad. I remember one time I was in a meeting. A preacher was there preaching some of the most foolish stuff I'd ever heard. It was very hard for me not to get up and walk out, but I had respect for the pastor, the place we was at. And sat and endured that mess. Some of you all were there several years ago. Some of our church was there at the time. And as I got up after church was over, I was heading out. Different people from other churches, other places. I'm not attacking them or nothing, but they said, "Oh, man, that was so deep. I couldn't even keep up with the guy. I couldn't even understand what all he was saying. It was so deep." I'm thinking, that wasn't deep. That was a mess. That was a wreck. You couldn't keep up with it. I didn't say it. You couldn't keep up with him because there wasn't nothing to it. Then I come back to our seat where two or three rows of our folks was, and they said, "My God, Brother Jeff, what kind of a mess was he preaching?" I said, "Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. My folks have got a hold of something. They's able to recognize a little death in the pot. We've got to have it for this hour." Amen. Not everything comes along. It says, "Lord, Lord's going to make it, folks." We've got to be careful. Isn't that right? Got to be careful. We're in a generation and a day. No absolutes. It don't matter. You can't allow yourself to fall into that trap. Or you'll begin to think you're the same crew of animals they say you are. Yeah. You weren't created. You just came into existence like the monkey, like the dog. You're no different than them. You're just able to communicate a little better. But maybe not, because we're seeing that they got some great communication skills. All right? And if that's all you're thinking, that you ain't nothing more than a critter, then you act like something worse than that animal world out there. We're seeing that in this hour, folks. Don't buy into that death. Don't buy into that foolishness. It's death in the pot in this hour. We can make a difference, but we got to sell out everything to Christ Jesus and completely rely on Him. Quit making excuses about how somewhere or another, you know, evolution maybe has a part in this. It has no part in this. Making some sort of an excuse of how, well, maybe there was thousands of years between here and there and hundreds and thousands, and we can make it. There's no gap theory. The Bible's either right or it's wrong. If it's wrong, go do something else. If it's wrong, go do something else. Amen. But it's not wrong. We have the only explanation of how man got here to begin with, how this world is here, how those stars are out there. We the only ones got the explanation for it. Amen. Don't be ashamed of who God is and what this Word of God stands for. Embrace it. There's no death in the Word of God. No death here. If you'll run to Christ, completely surrender and sell out to Him, you will find true life and what it is for you. Let's stand. Amen. And what He means for it to be for you. Amen. I tell you, the Lord loves you this morning. It's an hour of deception. It's an hour of trickery. It's an hour of lies. The Bible said this is an hour of Antichrist, folks. The Antichrist spirit is alive and well. The Antichrist is out there somewhere. But that spirit of Antichrist is alive and well. Amen. Anything that is not interested in Christ, that don't want to promote Christ, it's Antichrist or Antichrist. We have a government today. I don't care. You pick out the tag you want. For the most part, now, I know not everybody in there is a wreck. Not everybody in there is lost, but for the most part, our government is anti-Christ. Yes, it is anti-Christ. It's a driving our nation into a hell and into a place of separation from God that God will abandon us. The only reason America is alive right now and still afloat is because there are some churches, some believers that are still representing God Almighty. And because of that, God has kept us here to continue to fulfill the work and plan He has for us in this hour. Our nation, while they attack us and hate us and try to destroy us and shut us up and put us in prison, don't even realize we're the only hope they got because Christ is in us. These altars are open. If you don't know the Lord this morning, come and pray. If you're lost, come. Seek the face of God. Amen. Saints of God, gather around. Come on, everybody, come. Find your place to pray. Amen. Let's not give ourselves over to the foolishness of this hour, but let's give ourselves completely to the work and cause of Christ.